Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, it's today's been a lot of fun.
Time for some social studies with Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, guys. Sarah.
We've already talked to you a couple times. That's why it's been so fun. Yeah. More Sarah equals more fun.
We've got our vibe right today.
We do.
The vibes are so good today.
Yeah, we got it right today.
Is it because of the Suns? Is it because it's a post-shenanigans Wednesday? Why is it?
I think these are all reasons.
All of the above. Okay. Yeah.
We should have put that out on...
I think it's because we've been really goofy and we've been laughing a lot. Laughter is the most powerful medicine on the planet.
It's true. Even better.
I agree. And I think when the listeners hear us having a good time and hear us laughing, I think it translates and they have a good time.
Yeah. So what are you the best at, Jarrett?
Oh, yeah. What are you the best at? You've had 6 minutes to think about it.
I feel... I can write a very good joke more than anyone else that I know.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I can write song parodies very quickly.
You can do that.
Yes, he can.
You're the quickest song parodist in the West.
Speaking of that, how's the one shining moment?
I wrote all the lyrics.
Did you?
I didn't love it. I didn't want to revise it. And then I was like,
You killed it?
It's already...
You spiked it?
It's one shining moment. It's not like one shining week after the tournament. So.
I'll get it ready
for next year, maybe. That's on my to-do list.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into social studies. Please follow us on Twitter if you don't already, @Bickley_Murata. That is where all the good stuff goes down when it comes to social studies every day. And other good things as well. Let's start with the Phoenix Suns. I mentioned it a minute ago. The Suns last night, huge win over the team above them in the Western Conference standings, the Utah Jazz. And then tonight, they've got the team right below them in the Western Conference standings, the Clippers in Los Angeles. We are starting off by asking a fill-in-the-blank question. I haven't been this excited about a Valley Sports team since...
Since Archie Bradley's triple, since beating the Rockies in that playoff game.
That's the first one that came to mind, going back in chronological order, the 2017 Diamondbacks. But man, that just ended with such a thud. I mean, we got all jazzed up about one playoff win against a mediocre Colorado team.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think this is going to
starving.
This is going. I think it's going to get to the level of the 2015 Cardinals for me.
At least I ate everything in Dodger Stadium during this.
Well, there you go.
It was so impressive, though. It wasn't even just like getting the same thing over. In the first inning, it was like Chinese food. Then it was a hot dog. Then it was the Tommy Lasorda stand.
Chocolate yogurts.
You ate so much food in Dodger Stadium, they couldn't even allow fans last year. They ran out of food.
Yeah.
I was kind of right there with you. But at some point, I got full.
Man, good for
they
you
had
guys.
Good, they had good stadium food. I love the stadium experience there at Dodger Stadium. Except for the ass kicking.
Well, aside from that, the vibe in Dodger Stadium, talk about getting your vibe right. The Diamondbacks need to do that. They need to make their game presentation young and vibrant with like some cool rap music.
Terry Crews cameos throughout.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's even that organist at Dodger Stadium is fabulous.
Dieter Rule.
That's him, Dieter.
He rules.
He does rule.
All right.
He plays a lot of Depeche Mode, too, so I'm a fan.
Right.
Baseball music, okay. Again, the question was, I haven't been this excited about a Valley sports team since, Herman says, since the Coyotes playoff run in 2012.
Now, would that be Herman Buckley?
It would be Herman Buckley.
Read his synopsis, his bio synopsis.
Oh, my gosh. Account is solely to follow Bickley and Murata's social studies and mock my world. Someday Dan will buy the plane ticket he owes me.
That story predates your time with the show.
Yeah, that story. I was handed a boarding pass for a ticket in which I was a standby passenger, and I sat down in my seat feeling extremely fortunate. And I looked at my boarding pass, and the name was Herman Buckley on the boarding pass.
No.
The guy's still living in the airport, like Tom Hanks in the terminal.
Eating all of the airport food, which is not as good as baseball food.
And by the way, I don't know, one of Depeche Mode's biggest hits is a baseball song. You didn't know this?
Mm-mm.
Your own personal catcher.
Well done. Well done. Jump and Shout says he hasn't been this excited about a Valley sports team since we were fooled into thinking the Cardinals would be a playoff team last season.
Yep.
Joey says since the 2017 NL wildcard game. That was a popular reply.
Yeah.
Travis Belknap says since the Hail Murray, we were all pretty excited after that game only for everything to unwind. George Morales says, since the 2015 Arizona Cardinals amazing season, I miss being able to ask Siri who was the best team in the NFL. And Siri would say, the Arizona Cardinals. And then...
That's cool.
Brad
like
Newhouse.
That's cool.
Yeah. Brad Newhouse says, not since the D-backs signed Zach Greinke. So, a little while for Brad.
Yeah. Good answers.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff there. Moving on to our next question. The Suns are playing the Clippers in Los Angeles tonight. And, of course, their signature super fan for the Clippers, Billy Crystal. No?
Yes, and also last night at the Suns game was apparent Utah Jazz super fan John Cleese.
Yes, Bickley and Murata guest, Cleese. Yeah, exactly. So we are asking, who is the best celebrity sports fan of all time?
I think this is an easy answer. It's got to be Spike Lee, doesn't it?
That's a good one.
Hmm. Not Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson's a good one.
He's a good one.
Diane Cannon used to be there with all those Lakers games.
She still might be there. Entertainment Tonight's Mary Hart. She sits right behind home plate at the Dodgers game.
I remember they had her cardboard cutout there last year.
Jodie Foster, huge Packers fan.
Foster!
Jodie Foster!
She's a what?
A huge Packers fan.
Oh, okay.
So, she won an Oscar, or a Golden Globe, whatever it was, and she thanked Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers thanked her. I might have it backwards, but there was mutual thanking going on.
Yeah,
that's
was.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of the responses. RC says Margot Robbie. Apparently, she's a big hockey fan, Rangers
fan. Is she
fan.
Really?
Wow. I never know when these are serious responses or people just want to put gifts of Margot Robbie.
I don't
whatever
know
the case is, keep the gifts coming.
Okay.
For goodness.
Oh, my gosh. C. Bacher says Billy Crystal because he actually went to and rooted for the Clippers when they were horrible.
That is true.
He's very loyal. Spike Lee definitely gets mentions. We have Bill Murray with the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a
That's
few people
a great
said
one.
Bill
great
Murray.
One.
Wiffleball Tony
the cub.
Says
the cub. How about Drake?
Yeah, although he
for 16 different teams,
right?
Yeah, right.
Like now he's all down with the Toronto Raptors, but before it was like Kentucky and this team. And
he's
that
a celebrity
team.
Cereal fan.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Which like that's fine if you want to enjoy your friends
and
you know elsewhere.
If you're thinking
whatever.
Celebrity cereal, think Flutie Flakes on Jared Carlin's My World.
Yeah. Flutie Flakes. Wiffleball Tony says to his credit, Ashton Kutcher is a very knowledgeable Chicago Bears fan. and then Rob Riggle and Paul Rudd, both legit Kansas City Royals fans, and I think Chiefs fans as well.
Yeah, I know Paul Rudd's a huge Chiefs fan. I love this from our guy Joey, who just said Rob Lowe. He's a fan of the whole league, based on the Hattie War.
That's true.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Couple more. Brian Keith Stancato says, I'm surprised that nobody has mentioned Will Ferrell for USC. And Matthew McConaughey for Texas. They should be top 10 on any list.
They are good ones.
They are both.
Snoop is a big sports fan, but he too is a front runner. He likes the Steelers. He the Lakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, if we wanted to go local, probably the most famous Cardinals fan we have, Blake Shelton.
Yeah. He looks like a young Snoop Dogg.
He looks like a young Blake Shelton.
Yeah. So that's what I've got for you.
And by the way, Sean Miller's next job that we teased.
Yes.
We'll get to that at the end of the show.
All right, you ran out of time.
Oh, good, because I have an answer for that one.
Nah, sure
I don't know
do.
What. I'm feeling creative today.
Really?
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Social Studies every day at 1 o'clock with Sarah Cazell. You can follow us on Twitter, @Bickley_Murata. Jarrett is good at one thing, staying on top of Kendrick Perkins and tracking him down for an interview.
All
He's
right,
the
good.
Best at that. And Kendrick Perkins is going to join us next. Bickley and Murata. Jarrett's crossing his fingers. We'll find out next.
Right?
Vic LaMorata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big, big win for the Phoenix Suns last night over the Utah Jazz on ESPN. And joining us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, an NBA analyst and NBA champion who's been beating the drum for the Suns pretty much all season long, Kendrick Perkins, our guest here on Vic LaMorata. Kendrick, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing good. You got to feel pretty good because, like I said, you got on the Suns early this year after the Chris Paul trade, and they're making you look like a very, very smart man right now, Kendrick.
I mean, I tried to tell the world, man, you know, usually, you know, the old saying, if I tell you a duck could pull a truck, you might as well hook it up. Look, the Phoenix Suns, they are looking phenomenal right now. And I said this. I said, look, the way that they finished down there in the bubble, and Chris Paul and Jay Crowder making room for Bridges and Cam, and now you have a young point guard that could be molded under Chris Paul and Cam Newton, the way that DeAndre Ayton was going to play this year, because I watched what Chris Paul did for DeAndre Jordan's career with the Clippers. I said, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and they have a hell of a coaching staff.
Yeah, and it's all coming together. As a fellow vet, what is it about Chris Paul that makes him make every team he's on better?
Well, you know, everyone is held accountable, and he shows guys that it's okay to be who you are. And what I see more than anything with all the guys that are playing right now, the younger guys, is that they're buying into their roles. They're buying into the system. They're buying into the culture. And when you watch them play defense, you could tell a team that's together because of the way that they play defense. You're watching guys play boxes and elbows, help the helper, things to that nature, boxing out, not afraid to get dirty and get their nose, little nicks and bruises, getting in the paint and battling. That goes to show me that they're committed, and that's what Chris Paul is all about. He's committed to team. And so it's no individual basketball going on over there. It's all about the team.
Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. I think you're the perfect person to ask this question because there's this thought, and there's a lot of proof that does ring true with this, Kendrick, that a young team – once they haven't made the playoffs for a while, they got to pay their dues. They got to work up, up the ladder a little bit. But you played on a Boston Celtics team in 2008 that won a championship, and I know it was a largely different team from the year before when you won 24 games. But that was your first playoff experience, and you won the whole thing. Do you get the feeling that the Suns are built similarly to that Boston Celtics team?
You know what? I'm gonna say this. I think they're built similar to the Oklahoma City team that we didn't win a championship, but we went to the Western Conference Finals my first year there. And why I say that, because you look at the youth, but when you look at these guys, they're playing, they're not your typical 24, 23, 22-year-old. These guys are mature. These guys play the game at a mature level. So to me, age don't mean anything. And I'm looking at this team, and I'm saying, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise the world if we looking at the Phoenix Suns and they're coming out of the Western Conference this year. I had them pick as a top five team in the West, but I didn't know they were going to be this good as fighting for the number one seed. And they really are good. Like you can watch this team and show you. Like last night, to me, it showed a lot. They got up big early. The Jazz, you know, came pushing back a team that's also built to contend for a title, and they didn't let loose. They kept fighting, and they pulled out the win. I don't care if it was by 1 point, 3 points, or 10 points. The objective of going into a basketball game is coming out with a W, and they did that. They grinded. They got stops when they needed to, and they made timely buckets when they needed to, and they have two closers. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker, which you need going into the playoffs, because when you get to those possession by possession games, you got to have guys that you could go to down the stretch. In the words of Kevin Garnett, that's why those guys get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
All right, you've made a lot of fans here in Phoenix because you've been a staunch defender of Devin Booker through a lot of series of disrespect. Why is it so hard for people to wrap their heads around the fact that he's an elite basketball player?
I don't know. I don't know. And it's a shame because here's a guy that is going on his fourth year of averaging 24 plus points a game, right? And the only other two guys to do that before the age of 25 was LeBron and KD. And not only is he a prolific scorer, he's an efficient scorer. And I'm looking at the growth and watching him play. He's not taking bad shots. He's playing within the system, still averaging 25, almost 26 points a game this year, shooting 50% from the field. And his team is number two in the Western Conference. And I just don't get the disrespect. And they said, oh, we said it based off of potential. He's 24 years old. Yeah. You don't reach your prime until you're 27, 28. And so you mean to tell me that Devin Booker has reached his full potential? No, that just goes to show you how talented and how good he really is.
Talking with Kendrick Perkins here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The rest of the West, I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now. I know Anthony Davis is out, LeBron James is out, and they make the Lakers go. But they've fallen all the way down to fifth. And you can't go a full day without reading an article somewhere, Kendrick, about, wow, the Lakers could fall into the play-in tournament. They could be 7, 8, 9. How much panic should there be with the Lakers right now? Do you think they'll be fine when it's all when playoff time rolls around?
I have zero panic. And right before I jumped on this interview with you guys, I just saw LeBron James shoot a post out there and said it's about to be thunderstorms. And the post had him and Anthony Davis sitting side by side. So what that goes to show me is that they're getting treatment around the clock, that they're healthy. When they get healthy, when they come back, they're going to pick up right where they left off. And the role players, all this is doing right now is giving them a chance to sharpen their tools, to be able to get their confidence up. So when LeBron and Anthony Davis do come back, it's going to be definitely a problem. So I'm not worried about the Lakers one bit.
I'm also curious to get your thoughts on the Denver Nuggets. They go out at the deadline. They get Aaron Gordon. Woo. He has fit perfectly with that team. I had my doubts about it, but I was wrong. They've won 7 straight, and they're charging up the standings. How legit a contender do you think the Nuggets are to win this whole thing, Kendrick?
They are really legit. And I was mad at the Nuggets because I felt like that they took Jeremy Grant for granted, mm-hmm. and Torian Craig, and both of those guys left this offseason. And I said that they were going to miss them. And them going out and getting Aaron Gordon just filled in that void of Jeremy Grant. And Jokic is going to go, you know, we're looking at greatness right in front of us. He's going to be him. He cannot be stopped. But now you add an athletic wing like Gordon to the mix, a guy that could play off the ball, a great cutter, super athletic, shooting a career high from the three right now, 40%. It was a huge upgrade. But what else they added that I think people don't talk about enough that's flying under the radar is JaVale McGee. Because yeah. with them losing Plumlee and JaVale McGee, you could play him and Jokic together because Jokic is so great of a shooter from the three that you could have JaVale McGee rolling to the basket on the pick and roll or being a guy playing around the basket while Jokic stretched the floor because he demands that much of attention. So I'm looking at this Denver Nugget team, and this is another team that I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day if they come out of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
So with that being said, it's the Denver Nuggets, the Phoenix Suns, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Utah Jazz, and I'm kind of iffy about the Portland Trail Blazers because I feel like they need that wing defender. But those 5 teams that I named, it wouldn't surprise me if either one of those 5 teams came out of the Western Conference this year. Yeah. It just depends on who's playing the best basketball.
Oh, it's going to be fun. We appreciate you coming on the show. Great to talk to you, Kendrick.
I appreciate it. Anytime. Y'all have a blessed weekend, too.
You appreciate it, man.
Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, NBA champion. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Coming up, it was a day of optimism yesterday for the Diamondbacks. That got squelched pretty quick, and it's getting worse as we go on. We'll get into some D-backs talk next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Oh, remember last Thursday, Bick?
Not really.
We got off the air early. Opening day.
Oh, it was opening day.
That was only a week ago.
Major League Baseball. Seems like it was 10 years ago, just in baseball terminology, because, man, it's not going well for the D-backs. Today, the day started with the news that Ketel Marte, who left last night's game with an apparent hamstring injury, has said hamstring injury. It's a strain, 10-day injured list. They call up Andy Young from the taxi squad. They lost last night, and we'll get into this more in a little bit of Vinny Joe trivia. Last night was the second, the 202nd career game the Diamondbacks have played at Coors Field, only the second time they've been shut out. They're on their way to doing it again.
Offensive explosion today, Vinny?
An offensive explosion. It's through five innings, the Rockies lead 4-0, and John Gray's got a no-hitter going.
A no-hitter.
Yeah.
So the Diamondbacks not only have zero runs, they have zero hits.
Now, they have had three base runners because Eduardo Escobar has got on base twice via the walk, and Geraldo Perdomo walked, but no runs to show for it, no hits. And Gray right now, through five innings, right about 70 pitches, so yeah. he might make a run at this.
Yeah, he might make a run at it. It's when you get through five, it becomes serious, so it's serious now. Do you know perceptually how that would hit if they get no hit today?
Or you get shut out back-to-back heading into your home opener?
At Coors Field.
At Coors Field. Yeah, it's really depressing.
Look, not for nothing, I could hit like 340 there.
You could probably hit 444.
This is coming off of last night's game when Madison Bumgarner was once again not sharp and would not talk to the media after the game, which left Torey Lovello to hang and to cover for players again, which is, I feel terribly bad for him. There are a lot of people who think, though, that Torey needs to stop with the positive support and show some fire, not necessarily for his players' sake, but just for the fans.
This has come up in the last couple of years. We were just talking about that 17 team, and there was so much excitement about it, and Torey pushed every right button. Mm-hmm. It was one of those magical seasons and still didn't lead to much. But you're asking a guy to change his nature,
and
I don't think that can happen.
No, and only in baseball do the fans want the manager to throw a tantrum. Like, it's going to accomplish something. Now, there are managers...
Because they all like the movie Bull Durham when they all got chased into the shower and he threw the bats.
Right. There are managers that would intimidate and scare a clubhouse. Like Lou Piniella back in the day, he'd fight you. If Torey Lovello went in there and tried to be a jerk, everybody would be like, okay, nice try, Skip. You're right. He can't do it because it would have zero credibility, yet there's always that element of fans that... Man, do it. Turn over a table. Get these guys motivated.
You got to scare them.
It's more of an optic for fans, really.
It's just because of the nature of baseball. When the team is slumping, what else can the manager do?
Yeah.
I mean, I could like mix up the lineup a crazy way or something. But...
You mean like they did today with LeCastro and Van Meter in the 1 and 2 spots?
Well, offensive explosions led to. So.
When you think about this, think about if this thing, well, it's a no-hitter in progress. Think about the weirdness in this series. You had the unbelievable story of Matt Peacock. Matt was his first name, right? I remember that properly.
Sure.
Matt Peacock in game one, incredible story. Then last night was more of the, with Madison Bumgarner getting shut out in Colorado and Ketel Marte getting injured, and now a no-hitter in progress. Back-to-back shutout potential for Colorado?
I mean, you never know. Man. This could turn out to be a 15-14 game. It is Coors Field.
Absolutely.
But, to go five innings with no hits. at Coors Field following the night you got shut out. Man, yeah. You're right. It doesn't look great.
It would look like and feel like a team that is just like, okay, we've got no chance. That just waving the white flag, you know, before they even play their home opener. It's, yeah. These are the kind of years you wish it was another 60-game season.
We've talked
get it
about
over
it.
Quicker.
Yeah.
They'd be one-tenth of done already.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a bright spot, wouldn't
Isn't
it?
Isn't that amazing?
The Ketel Marte thing is so... Because the one guy that actually did bounce back, because Madison Bumgarner, not so much. Eduardo Escobar, not at all. David Peralta, not so good. Ketel Marte actually looked like he did two years ago.
He came out of the gates on fire.
I know.
And even, you know, it doesn't appear to be serious at this point. Hopefully he does heal quickly, as we said earlier. But there's always an acclimation period to get back.
Yeah, as of right now, they do not have a starting pitcher on their staff who can put his proverbial foot down and change the fate of a winning streak or a losing streak. You mentioned it earlier. There's no momentum in baseball because everything is predicated on that day's starting pitcher.
Yeah, they came off of their best win of the year. It's only been a short year. Mm-hmm. But that great, amazing game where they won in extra innings and they get shut out the next day.
Yeah.
And they look lifeless. And they're going to say, they'll probably say Merrill Kelly had a fine enough start today if he ends with, you know, four runs over five innings or six innings. But
well, right now he's at four earned runs and four and a third, gave up seven hits. He hasn't struck out anybody. He hasn't walked anybody. He's also kept the ball in the ballpark to this point.
Which is good.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, if that's your high watermark for your starting pitching.
I know.
They really needed the starters, especially the top two guys, to step up with Zach Gallen.
Sure.
That's the disappointing
thing. And apparently Gallen's getting really close. He had an 80-pitch session either yesterday or today. I don't think he's going to be able to pitch this weekend because they're going to have an opening on Saturday now because they put Caleb Smith back in the bullpen after
that's
one start. So curious to see who gets that start. But
Caleb Smith was one start in a terrible spring. So it wasn't like that quick of a hook, but they've seen enough, I think. The thing about Madison Bumgarner is that contract now, it's you know how this works. From Russ Ortiz to Zach Greinke to Eric Burns. You know how this gets. You know how quickly
Tomas.
Yeah. You exactly. You know how quickly guys go become pariahs when they don't produce while making a ton of money. And it's been so bad in the past that they've actually bought out guys just to get them out of here. Because it's too much of a distraction. There's too much noise and all that kind of stuff.
Going into this year, there was $79 million remaining on that contract.
And also, the other reason why all those Diamondback players stand out is because it's a guy making a lot of money on a team that does not have a lot of guys making a lot of money.
Yeah, so there's tremendous imbalance in all of that. And you're not going to be, unlike Zach Greinke, I mean, are you going to be able to trade Madison Bumgarner with all that money on the back end of his contract? Probably not.
No, Zach Greinke was good.
Yeah, that's right. Fundamental difference. So, I don't know, it's really dreadful that the Diamondbacks find themselves in that same boat they were in. And it's a shame because Madison Bumgarner, if he were vintage Madison Bumgarner, he'd give this team what it needs. A strong personality at the top of the rotation, somebody who can stop losing streaks, win a big game for you. And everything about the Madison Bumgarner experience has been mostly dreadful. It's a shame. Really is.
Yep, 4-0 now, two outs, bottom of the fifth. Rockies leading the Diamondbacks. That game over on ESPN 620 and televised on Bally Sports Arizona. Coming up next, we'll update you on round one at the Masters. And we know, and we've been reporting it too. I have been anyway. Mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal's been getting a lot of grief this basketball season. But at the heart of things, he's got a heart of gold. We'll tell you about that and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room.
All right, today's song of the day, U2, Bono, The Edge, and the other two guys in the group.
Larry Mullen Jr., Adam Clayton.
Oh, I did know Adam Clayton. That was good.
Bono and The Edge are very cool, like music names.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Mullen.
Yeah, right.
I'm surprised he didn't come up with a fake name.
Beautiful day in honor of the Phoenix Suns, right?
Yeah. Look, I'm kind of a fan, but is calling yourself The Edge cool?
No, I don't think it is.
Well, it's cool because he calls himself The Edge. So, like, if you're eating with him, you know, oh, can you pass the potatoes, The Edge? Oh, how you doing today, The Edge?
Yeah.
It's not just Edge.
All right, fair enough. I'll let that one slide.
I wonder if he's got friends like Ron Wolfley, who always takes your name and puts a twist on it. I wonder if people call him Edgy. Hey, Edgy, what's happening?
Edgy. It's a great right? show you put on, Edgy. Bono-y.
All right, that is, and by the way, real quick, opinion on this song on the pantheon of U2 hits? I don't mind this song.
I don't mind it. Yeah, it's okay. It gives you the feels, right, Vinny?
I don't know if it slaps or if I'd call it a banger.
I don't know if it hits.
But
right.
It's definitely a bop. That's today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
All right, I mentioned this earlier. Still getting shut out. One out in the sixth. John Gray with the no-hitter intact for the Rockies. 4-0 Colorado over the D-backs. Last night, including today, 203 games now at Coors Field, lifetime for the Diamondbacks. Last night was only the second time they had been shut out at the famously friendly hitter's ballpark. The first time happened back in 2009. July 3rd, 2009, they lost to the Rockies 5-0 as Jorge De La Rosa and two relievers combined on a four-hit shutout. Your question is, and remember that date, July 3rd, 2009, who was the Diamondbacks' 24-year-old starting pitcher that day? Not the easiest question I've ever asked, but you should know it. Jarrett's usually pretty good at discerning these. Although, I don't know if he's Googling back there either.
No, I don't cheat at stuff like
that. Oh, okay, good.
24-year-old
right-handed starting pitcher.
Yeah.
In 2009.
I have a guess. Max Scherzer?
Brandon Webb?
The correct answer is Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer, okay.
Yeah, good. Well done, Jarrett. He pitched okay that day and got no run support.
Okay.
They might triple their amount of shutout losses at Coors Field if this doesn't turn around.
That's crazy. That is crazy. For those who don't know, the Diamondbacks are being no-hit in the top of the sixth inning at Coors Field.
Yes.
Beautiful.
They have had three walks, so it won't be a perfect game if it holds up, but a no-hitter is intact. I mentioned this before we went to break. This was earlier in the week on TNT. Shaq's gotten a lot of grief for his treatment of Donovan Mitchell during an interview. By being dressed down basically on pick and roll defense by Candace Parker, who looked really smart in that conversation.
It's personal attacks on Charles Barkley sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
That's an every show thing. Now, there was a story that came out. Did you see this story? Shaq was in Atlanta. He went to a jewelry store that he's got a deal with, and he ended up helping out a customer there by paying for the man's engagement ring that he was making payments on.
So I was in Zales looking for some hoop earrings, and I seen the guy.
With the blue shirt on?
Yeah.
You went to the mall and went to Zales?
Wait, what? You want me to go to Piedmont Park? You're going to Zales?
First of all, I have a jewelry line at Zales, first of all.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
my bad.
What kind of jewelry?
Everything. So anyway, I went in there to get some hoop earrings, and I seen the guy come in. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? It was just, and I was like, my man, how much is the ring? And I'm not going to say the amount, but it's not enough to me. But I just, you know, and this is something that I do every day. The other day, me and my mom went furniture shopping, and this lady, she had a autistic daughter. Mm. And, you know, she was also, you know, looking to pay for some furniture. And I just took care of her. So I'm into making people happy. So whenever I leave the house, I just try to do a good deed. Like, I didn't mean for that to get out because I don't do it for that. But, like, the guy just came in and, you know, he's a young kid. He's a hardworking guy. He's like, hey, man, I can come back next month. And then, like, layaway. Like he, you know, he puts the money down, but I was like, you know what? Tell your girlfriend I got to take care of it. At first, he didn't want to take it. He said, no, I can't do that. I said, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. So I'm just trying to make people smile. That's all.
I thought that was a cool story. There was even video that was accompanied with it. Mm-hmm. And the guy, I don't know if he was in shock, but he was very, very calm about the whole thing.
Yeah, I think he was very humbled by it, maybe. He probably was having an out-of-body experience. I don't know.
I mean,
it would be weird enough to see a celebrity like Shaq in the jewelry store, and then he's picking up your ring.
Well, have you ever had a random stranger just do something kind for you?
Yeah.
I have, too.
Yeah.
It is very impactful.
Yes.
I remember it was probably like, I don't know, 12 years ago. My son was very young. He was like 3 years old at the time. We're out having dinner. Things were not great in my life at that point, professionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of money rolling around, but I still don't know who did it. Waitress came over and said, hey, there's a couple over there that wants to take care of your dinner. And I said, well, can you point them out so I can thank them? He said, nope.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
I thought you were going to say, well, can I order dessert then? Or?
Me and a buddy of mine went to Clearwater, Florida for spring break, and we were hanging out at a table. There were four of us at the table, and we were drinking and having pitchers of beer and ordering food, and I remember looking at my friend halfway through the night, and I said, you know what, dude? We're going to blow basically our entire vacation budget tonight if we're not careful. He's like, oh, who cares? Come on, have another drink. Okay, so we got to the end of the night, and I was dreading this bill because it was going to be in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And a couple picked it up, said, you guys reminded us of us when we were younger. We're going to pick up your tab. And I'm like,
wow.
Wow.
Look at that.
And it was hundreds of dollars. Yeah. Purely random. But it was much needed because we would have been eating ramen the rest of that vacation.
While sleeping on the beach.
Yeah, right.
I found this, too. This is from a couple days ago as well. Kelly Oubre's situation in Golden State, and it reminded me of a time when we were talking about his role, what it could be in the bubble if he chose to come back. Remember all the mystery about whether or not he was going to be able to play? Oh, man, I don't have time to play it. I'll play part of it. This is Andrew Bogut on his podcast, some sources and what he's learned about Kelly Oubre.
Followed up saying, would you be happy coming back next season? If Clay's healthy, would you come back to a bench role? And the conversation kind of turned. It was clear. His tone, the way he was talking, was not very positive to coming off the bench and said something along the way of, I'm more than a bench player. I wouldn't come off the bench. Now, not going to name the player, but I've heard the Warriors players didn't take too lightly to those comments. They basically had made it pretty known that Andre Iguodala, a finals MVP, was okay with coming off a bench, but we have Kelly Oubre.
Wow. What a story that is.
He's not willing to come off the bench, but Andre Iguodala did. Thanks to Bruce Pascoe, Kendrick Perkins. We'll catch you tomorrow. Burns and Gambo up next.